From Love and Radio, you're listening to The Secrets Hotline.
Well, I don't know what to say.
At 929 Secrets.
I don't know.
I'm Nick Vanderkolk.
This is weird.
Hi. Feels kind of funny. I just recently discovered this podcast. I'm in my headphones a lot at work, so I've been binging episode after episode, and I think this podcast is a really great thing. I was thinking about how many secrets everyone has, how we won't really ever know anyone to the extent that they know themselves. I think it's kind of a beautiful thing. This podcast is so full of love and acceptance for everyone, and I think it's really amazing. It really makes me feel less alone. I know it does that for a lot of people too, so thank you. Anyway, my secret is that I am going to propose to my boyfriend tonight. I think he's going to say yes. I really do. Thanks. Bye.
Hi, Nick. You might remember my dodgy Liverpool accent from a previous call about me and my wife being ethically non-monogamous. Had I known you could just get AI to do a stupid voice, I would have done that. My secret is that I'm stood outside a vasectomy clinic about to get the snip, which I haven't told anyone except for my other half, who knows all about it. But yeah, basically, one of my best mates, and this is not my secret, it's his, got a girl pregnant the first time having sex with her while they were using protection, and she's keeping the baby, and he is freaking out. And that has freaked me out, because nothing would ruin my life and my wife's life quicker than having an unexpected baby with one of my friends who I see regularly on the side. So I am waiting to get cauterized, snipped, whatever, and I'm nervous but excited. So yeah, that's my secret. Thanks, guys.
Hey there, it's Nick. I just wanted to take a minute to let you know that this episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. I am very appreciative of everyone who calls into the hotline, and I think most of you who have gotten something out of it. But as much as I hate to admit it, calling some weirdo podcast is definitely not a substitute for a qualified therapist. It's great to say things out loud, but it's even more helpful to have your thoughts reflected back to you by a trained professional. Way before BetterHelp was even a thing, I personally saw a therapist for many, many years, and I consider it an integral part of my self-development. Being able to observe yourself from a distance is an incredibly powerful tool for breaking out of habits, learning positive coping skills, and learning to set boundaries with the people in your life. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, and given the calls we get on the show, I'd say that's pretty likely, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You can learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/secrets hotline today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/secrets hotline. Thank you, BetterHelp, for supporting the podcast. Okay, back to the show.
My secret is that I'm 29 years old and I still play pretend, which I think is probably something that a lot of people do to a certain extent, but anytime I've tried to talk to my friends about it, they just can't relate or they get really weirded out. It ranges from I get home, I'm in the shower, I'm pretending to talk to a talk show host about a certain subject, or I'm in my living room surrounded by certain people throwing a dance party. But then it gets a little bit deeper, you know. I've gone as far as imagining my parents' death and being brought to tears by that, and just trying to sit in that event and in those emotions. I'm also realizing that it's kind of a coping mechanism. The other day, I passed someone I have big feelings for on the sidewalk, and it was awkward. And I went home and basically recreated that interaction with how I would have wanted it to go. So I'm realizing this has kind of been a thing throughout my childhood. I have this imagination, I have big feelings. I'm an only child. Maybe some people would cite that as a factor, but I want to be clear that I'm actually a very extroverted social person. I'm very present in the moment. I love connecting with people. So this is not like me avoiding connection and just being separate from reality. This is just kind of my own thing. I love living alone for this reason. I love coming home, just sort of living out these fantasies.
Hey, Nick. I'd like to leave a secret, and I love that you have this voice-changing technology, so I'd like to ask you to change my voice, partially for anonymity's sake, but also because if you do ever play this on your program, it would be pretty cool to hear this as if it's another person's story for that distance. My secret is that I am a woman in my 40s. A few years ago, I had a labiaplasty. If you don't know what that is, it's a cosmetic surgical procedure that alters the labia. The reason I did it is obviously because I wanted to change my labia. I'm an ardent feminist, and I believe in beauty in women in all different shapes and sizes. But I just didn't really like the way I looked, and it didn't do anything for me. It was like tissue that didn't feel like it was connected, and it just made me feel really self-conscious. And with all the other hang-ups I have, the last thing I needed was to feel ashamed of myself in the moments that were really vulnerable and intimate. And even when I was by myself, I stole it on my kid. It was just like superfluous and in the way and felt wrong and not my choice, and I didn't like it. It was weird, like an aberration. There's nothing else in my body that's an aberration for the most part. I would never have considered any other cosmetic alteration, but when I learned about it, it just really captured my attention. I'll say that no man I'd ever been with, and unfortunately I have not yet been with women that way, but hopefully one day, no man had ever commented on me or made me feel like anything but beautiful and perfect, but I didn't like it. I had a relationship with a guy, a lovely human being, but also a raging narcissist with a lot of issues. And one of his issues is that he had some major sexual hang-ups. He was really like the opposite of intimate and vulnerable in bed. He was really dominating, and I'm really ashamed to say this. This is also a secret that I carry, but this guy that I was with romantically for years, he never kissed me, and he never went down on me, not one time. He was also really violent and dominating in bed. I tried to score him on the whole dominant-submissive dynamic, but he wasn't really grasping that. So I just really suffered through a dysfunctional sexual relationship in which I was never able to be vulnerable and also like never celebrated. It was at the end of that period that I decided to do it just for myself. And I had some big life changes. I sold my house, and while I told people that the first thing I did was pay off some debts, the truth is the very first thing I did was I signed up to get my labiaplasty. The procedure itself was really interesting. I had a woman surgeon, she was wonderful. The whole experience was kind of scary, but also kind of sweet in a way. I felt really empowered. The aftermath was like an aftermath. It was pretty gory, bloody, pretty extreme for several weeks. Just like, ugh. I was kind of like a scene in a slasher film. But eventually I healed and broke up with the guy I was with and moved on with my life. That was almost 4 years ago, and my level of confidence has not really come back. I've really not even had that many sexual relationships since then. So it's like no one even can see or marvel at or benefit from what I have created with myself. I feel better about it, for sure. But the interesting thing is, you know, I knew this going into it because I did a lot of thinking and research, but it wasn't even about the thing, because if I felt great about myself and was also celebrated the way I deserved to be, maybe I wouldn't have done it. But I did, and I'm glad I did. I am really wanting to reap the benefits, but I'm currently living a lonely life in a sense. There is something else. It's not my labia. Something else is like keeping me from pleasure and connection. All these things that I really am so ready for. So yeah, I don't know if anyone will ever really know. I really hope I look quote unquote normal. I certainly feel great. I think I look great, and I just want someone else to see how beautiful I am. But for now, there's one person who does, and that person is me, and me alone. Anyway, if anyone is looking into doing that, I do recommend it if you're doing it for the right reasons for yourself. I wish them luck. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Hi. Thanks for this platform to be able to share what I'm going through. I lost my husband in 2020. I found him dead. We were together 20 years. I am disabled. I have structural issues. I can't walk for more than, let's say, from a parking spot to a door of a convenience store. And I am in pain always, constantly. I had to sell my house last year. Black mold was completely taking over the basement, and it was creeping up into my bedroom and evidently into my lungs. That I had been hospitalized 10 times with pneumonia and sepsis and other related issues. My issue is, and I'm sorry, I don't want to blab on here, but I'm having a difficult time. I was very fortunate to be able to sell my house and buy a little condo, and you know, it's nothing fancy, but it's nice. I'm not rich. I live on Social Security disability, and that's an issue I'm finding. I thought I could do it, but they keep raising these HOA fees. They're still very low, considering, and I can't afford it. I realized I can't do this, and there's nothing I can, as far as work goes, to try to bring in more income. I just don't know how, given my physical, emotional, and disabilities. I've reached out for help. It just seems like it's just this constant whirlwind cycle. I'm lonely, and I don't know how to date or any of that shit. I mean, I hooked up in the past. Dating was... I don't know how to date. I have a great sense of humor, and I really, you know, love people, but I'm realizing that why have this when I can't share it with anybody? I have a daughter, and she has her own life with her own family, and we're in touch almost every day. But I go for weeks not being able to get to a social event. I'm just getting really tired. I am so freaking lonely, and I am so poor. And I just keep living on hope. My whole life I've lived on hope and dreams and hard work. I'm just hoping that, you know, I'm going to keep trying. I'm just going to keep trying. And that's what I tell everybody else to do. I just had to unburden this. And more than anything, I'm just lonely. I feel I have a lot to share and a lot to offer. And I just don't know how to do it anymore. But, hey, good luck to everybody. Thanks.
Hey, my name is... My secret is a happy one, ultimately, but it does talk about suicidal ideation, or it's an attempt. So my secret is that about 3 years ago, in March of 2021, I attempted to kill myself, and I was interrupted. I've dealt with depression since I was younger, since teenhood, really, and I was in this really terrible job. I was suffering, struggling, I guess, every day. I felt really stuck in it, and I felt a lot of shame in admitting that I wasn't good enough. The point of the secret is that I am so glad that I didn't do it almost every single day. I'm so grateful that I did not go through with it. I've gone to therapy. I've fixed my medication. Like, so many happy things have happened in my life that I wouldn't have gotten to experience. I am in a better job that I actually really like. My fiance and I were able to get a house last year, and actually we're getting married in 2 weeks. And I'm so grateful. I'm grateful that I'm here. I've heard a lot of really heavy stuff on this podcast of people who are thinking about it. And I just really want to say that, not just because other people love you, but for yourself. Don't rob your future self of all the beauty of the world and the potential that it can get better. That's all. Thank you.
Hi, Nick. I am calling in response to a couple of the calls you played at the end of the most recent episode. People complaining about the calls you've been playing about their feelings on Israel and Gaza.
Let's not bring politics into this show.
I think that's just utterly silly. This podcast, to me, has not been about just the pure Schadenfreude voyeurism of hearing about the dirty things that people do that they don't want to admit to people in their life that they know. It's about dwelling in this liminal space together of ambiguity, things that we're not sure about, things that are confusing and heartrending, and that you don't know who else to turn to, so you need a void to scream into. It's felt really soothing to me to hear the sort of long-range dialogue happening between people calling in about Israel and Gaza. I'm having so much heartache about what's happening. I don't know where to put it, and I think it's really important. Listening to each other's secrets is so, so deeply human. We need to know how we're feeling about things that are happening in our world. Religion and politics are absolutely crucial elements of the human experience. I really appreciate you playing those calls and kind of fostering a little long-range anonymous dialogue about the Israel-Palestine conflict and internal conflict of Jewish people about Zionism and how it's affecting them. Just as a little treat, I guess, for that guy for suffering through listening to yet another call about politics. How awful. I will tell a toothbrush-related story. I was having a very bad relationship with a roommate at one point. She hated the guy that I was dating and called a house meeting with our other roommates, basically saying, like, I don't want this guy in our space. it was super awkward and really tense. And after that meeting, I was just feeling so shitty and smoked a bunch of weed. And I was like, okay, I'm just going to go to sleep. I went into the bathroom that I shared with this roommate who hated me, and I was reaching for my toothpaste, and I accidentally, like, my wrist bumped her toothbrush, and it flung into the toilet, and I just froze, and I was like, oh my God, I do not want to talk to her tonight anymore. Like, I was so stoned and paralyzed with fear, and I just, like, couldn't bear even, like, texting her and just being like, hey, sorry, this happened on accident, like, FYI. The toilet had piss in it. The toothbrush, like, the bristles didn't touch the piss, but yeah, I just, like, rinsed it off and put it back and never said anything. There you go. Bye.
That's it for the Secrets Hotline, for now. If you have a secret you want to share, I want to hear from you. You can call 929-SECRETS, leave a message at secretshotline.org, or record a voice note and email contact@secretshotline.org. If you change your mind for whatever reason, just contact me within 24 hours and I'll make sure your call doesn't go into the podcast. No stress. And if you can, find a quiet place to record and don't use a speakerphone or hands-free device. Quality of the call is much better when you don't. This episode featured the music of Zhao, Andrew Frankel, Andrew Heath, and Mi Casa de Resistance, He Can Jog, Memory Scale, Strange Bird Sounds, and Odd New and Umlaut. Check the show notes for the full playlist. Our end theme is by Steven Jackson. The Secrets Hotline is a labor of love and radio and made possible thanks to you. Your support makes this show possible, and I'm deeply grateful for it. Thank you. I'm Nicholas Sardine Punch Punch Vanderkolk. Thanks for listening, Kayla.